You know, irony can be pretty ironic at times. Growing up, I can remember usually being chosen by Mrs. Hill, my Sunday school teacher, to be a shepherd in the church's Christmas pageant. Year after year, I remember having to put on the shepherd's outfit, carry a stick, feign fear of the angel's announcement at the baby Jesus' birth, and then come to the manger to sit in on the side or on the steps, kind of out of the way, and watch as the main story, the main event, the main part of the play, the exciting part happened, the magi, the wise guys, the three kings got to parade in, dressed in splendor, to present their treasure chests of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It just wasn't fair. I always wanted to be a king. I always wanted to be one of those that got to be right in the middle. Why did it always have to be a shepherd? Now I know that I always had to be a shepherd because I wasn't tall enough. I didn't fit into the outfit. But I grew up. And finally, the year came when I got to be one of the kings. Yeah. I got to put on the flashy outfit, complete with the Burger King crown that had been spray-painted gold. And with much fanfare, parade, and pomp and circumstance, we went up the center aisle there in the fellowship hall, up onto the stage in front of all those people carrying that cardboard box that had been wrapped in old gold-colored Christmas wrapping paper. I don't know, maybe 20 years earlier. It was a mess by then. And lay it at the side of the manger that had that little doll of the baby Jesus that would say, "Mama," when you squeezed it. And everybody oohed and awed as we then gathered together with Joseph and Mary and had pictures taken until we couldn't see anymore. The ironic part is that for years I wanted to be one of the three kings, one of the three wise men, one of the three wise guys, and now for 34 years in ministry, I've played a shepherd. I'm the pastor of a church. And pastors are the shepherds of the flock of God. That's what the title pastor actually means, shepherd. It's the English form of the Latin word for shepherd. I spent years growing up having to be a shepherd in a Christmas play after Christmas play, but really wanting to be the magi, a wise guy, only to then spend my life as a shepherd. And it's actually a pretty neat gig. Over 34 years, I've discovered that it's one of the best roles you could ever have in this play called life. Not that there aren't complications or things I'd like to change about it. Of course there are. But it's a role of extraordinary honor. Because wonderful people like all of you welcome pastors into your lives. Welcome us into your homes. To be part of your journey in this life. We're there in the good times and the bad times, the happy times and the sad times. We get to officiate in weddings, baptize babies, counsel and comfort, celebrate anniversaries. We also get to officiate in funerals, hold a hand, and when you leave the office, or when I've leave your home or your bedside. We often cry with you too, though you may not see that. Being a shepherd in this Christmas play of life is really pretty neato. It's especially so because we get to be there along the journey with you as you discover within yourselves your gifts and your graces that you share not just with the Christ child, but with the whole world. The wise guys brought Jesus gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, supposedly gifts that you give a king. Though as a kid, I'll admit to questioning those gifts. Gold, I mean, don't kings already have enough gold? And frankincense, what's that? I often thought it said Frankenstein. No, it's frankincense. It's incense used in worship. We don't use incense in worship in most Protestant churches anymore. You still see it in Roman Catholic churches and Eastern Orthodox churches. You still see it in some Episcopalian churches, and sometimes you might see it in a very special kind of service in a Protestant church. The closest you get, however, are those ultra-modern worship services that have the smoke machine generating all that vapor in the air. That's the kind of thing that incense actually is for. It's to establish this sense of mystical wonder at the presence of the Holy Spirit wafting through the room. It's a part of the offering process in the Hebrew faith. Part of your offering was to make an incense offering that would then waft up as smoke, a pleasing odor, and fill the room not just with that smell, but with that hazy fogginess of mystery and wonder that comes with clouds. And then there's myrrh, the most mysterious gift for a kid of all. It was a perfume used to anoint the dead. That's kind of strange. What a weird gift to give a newborn baby. What do these gifts actually mean for us, though? They've been interpreted in many ways across the years. Look at the song that we just sang, We Three Kings, for at least one interpretation of the meanings. Gold I have to crown him again. Gold represents the crowning of Christ as king. It is the very best that we have to give, and we give it to Christ. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, the words say. Jesus isn't just some kind of earthly king. He's also God, right here among us, incarnate in human flesh, enfleshed amongst us. In that little baby, God comes to reveal God's love to all the world. Frankincense points that out. Frankincense illustrates that. Frankincense calls us then to worship that gift of love in that Christ child. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. The perfume of myrrh was used in the period of that Jesus lived amongst the Hebrew people to anoint the dead, as I said before. It represents the sacrifice of Christ's death for us. These gifts of the Magi all stands as symbols for the gifts that we are called to give to Christ. There are traditional names for these three wise guys, but in truth, they are stand-ins for us. They're a literary device for us. We're called to see ourselves in them, coming from afar to see the baby Jesus, to see God incarnate in human flesh, to see the wonder of the world, of all the world, of the entire universe right there in our midst, to see and to worship gold. Gold represents our very best. What does it mean to give Christ our very best? Time and talents and treasure. Being here for study and for service and for worship. Being here to share of all that we have and are through singing and service and making and building. Treasure, offering of ourselves, our resources, financial and otherwise, to bless others, to express love to God and to others. We are giving Christ what is most valuable to us, our intrinsic gold. Are we doing that? Are we truly giving our very best? Or are we giving Christ just what's left over when we're done with it? Frankincense. Incense symbolizing our worship. If Jesus is not just our King, but also our God, how do we worship Him? Should we worship Him? Should we worship God in Christ? That's an actual question these days. What does it mean to worship? The word worship is an old English word meaning to assign worth or value to something. Worth-ship is its actual meaning. What do you value most highly? What do you count as of being greatest in worth to you? Do we value Christ highly in our lives? Highly enough to prize Christ and to spend time serving others in Christ's name? There's personal worship and corporate worship. We are called to engage in both, to center Christ in our lives and to feed and be nourished by God's grace in worship so that we can go out and serve others in the name of Christ. Do we gather together and do this worth-shipping as a community where we can have the most good and the most impact? Where loving God and loving neighbor can do the most good for all? And finally, myrrh. This is the hardest gift for us to consider because it foreshadowed Jesus' suffering and death. And we don't like thinking about that when we have this idyllic scene of Him as a baby lying in a feeding trough. But right there, you actually have an important image. The manger was a feeding trough, something that you would put the grain into and the animals would come and they would eat it. This baby is placed for safety reasons in the feeding trough and ends up, by a miraculous experience of God's grace, His love, His peace, His presence, His joy, His power, His hope, ends up feeding the whole world. What a sacrifice. And we are called to share that sacrifice, to share in that sacrifice, to be part of that sacrifice, to sacrifice our time, our presence, our agenda in favor of God's time, God's presence, and God's agenda. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, our very best, our worship and sacrifice. If I'm a pastor and I am a shepherd indeed, then I've got you as wise people. What are you going to bring to the Christ child? Will you bring your very best? Will you bring your very best worship? Will you bring your very best sacrifice, service to the Christ child? Will you bring them all, as we all should? We are all called to stand in the shoes of the Magi and bring our best to the Christ child. Will we do that this year? Next year? Every year? That's the calling. That's the calling a shepherd hears. That's the calling that the shepherd who wanted to be a Magi hears. That's the calling we are all given. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's people sing.
Yo.